Austin Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It's my absolute privilege and pleasure to be here on the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. I've been hosting this call for going on 18 plus years. So if you've been on this call like Bobby Robinson for 16 of those years, you have heard a lot of calls. My good friend Joe DiBianca, Dan Anarella, and some of my exceptional clients have been here with me for a long time, Joe going into his sixth year listening to tonight's call. Many of you have been listening for a long time, so I have some great content for you tonight. And as I said, I'm going to have some great speakers before the end of the calendar year, 2017. This year alone, I've had Susan Sly, Alexis Romano, Dr. Joe Dispenza. What a call that was to have Dr. Joe on the call, just to name a few in the calendar year 2017. And 2018 will also prove to be a great year. I'm in the process right now of booking the great G. Edwin Griffin to be a guest on my call before the end of the year. Ed Griffin will be a featured speaker at my Protege Writer Speakers Workshop November 4th, Saturday, this coming Protege Workshop. The Protege Writer Speaker Workshop is a continuing education component of the Breakthroughs to Success Workshop that comes free with coaching. If you're on this call and you've never received a free 15-minute coaching call, feel free to reach out to me and request that by messaging me in Facebook, letting me know what you seek from a 15-minute coaching session with me. So here are some of the events I have lined up in the very near present. So on October 8th, I'll be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. October 21st, I want to thank my friend Frank Pecoraro for hosting the More Heart Than Talent event Saturday, October 21st. October 28th, I will be in Norwalk, Connecticut. November 11th, I will be in Orange County, California, right at the John Wayne Airport. November 18th, I will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Joe DiBianca, thank you for hosting that event. That will be a game changer. December 2nd, Atlanta, Georgia. December 16th, Rye, New York. And I'll be finishing the calendar year 2017 with the next to last day of the event in Marina Del Rey, December 30th. Now, if you'd like to go across country for a one-day More Heart Than Talent event that's very close to LAX in beautiful Marina Del Rey. That is the last day, the last speaking event of 2017. With that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. One other announcement. If you've not joined the group Guilt Cleanse, it is a group of over 5,000 people. That is a closed group for people who are seeking to release guilt, shame, emotional anxiety, overwhelmed feelings, and events that have shaped your identity. That is a fabulous group. I am one of the facilitators of that group. If you want to end that group, go ahead and request entry, and I will let you in immediately after tonight's call. That is called Guilt Cleanse. Tonight's call is setting boundaries. How many of you have challenges with this situation? You over-obligate yourself, overwhelm yourself, do too much for others, and spend a great deal of your time in a place called fight or flight, anxiety, and overwhelm feelings. Now, the reason a large percent of society has challenges with boundaries, they have challenges with commitment. And many people overcommit themselves. And if you're a chronic overcommitter, overobligator, then this call is dedicated for you so you can have a better understanding of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do. If you don't understand why you do what you do, you will continue to do that which is familiar and will perpetuate the same set of feelings to drive the same actions. A high percent of society has challenges with this very topic, setting boundaries. Setting boundaries will show up in codependence. A large percent of the population loses their innocence as a child. They have to take on a role or an identity as a grown-up. They have to step in and take care of someone else. They have to be responsible. They're responsible for a family, a parent. They have to be responsible for money. They work a part-time job and give their money to the family to support them. These are some of the commonalities that most of society has challenges setting boundaries. And if you're not good enough, many people go out of their way to over-obligate themselves to serve others, attempting to receive recognition for their effort. Unfortunately, a lot of times when we do this over-obligation, emotional anxiety, we tend to over-obligate ourselves, and we don't get recognized for how we over-obligate ourselves. Then not only have we been guilted into doing this, but we also feel resentful. Now, when you are in a place where you're ready to let go and separate your feelings from the events, then you'll be able to set healthy boundaries. Now, what does that actually mean, healthy boundaries? Well, that's going to be like beauty. That's going to be in the eye of the beholder. A healthy boundary means that you're comfortable with not over-obligating yourself. You're comfortable letting someone know you're not in a position to commit. You're comfortable with a two-letter word called no. Typically, you won't use the word no, but you'll say not at this time. You're able to pass on a situation without feeling obligated and guilty. I know that I have challenges. I have had some challenges with this very situation. I have tended to do too much for others, set myself up to over-obligate myself, and then be disappointed because I don't get recognized for the recognition I feel I deserve. Now, if this is also you, once again, you want to have a clear understanding of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do. The more you understand this one key word, events, it's events that shape the feelings. Now, it also will show up in business ventures. Many people don't have a boundary in their business ventures, and they have more than one business, yet they avoid all of them. And if you're a chronic avoider, this is also going to show up in how you set boundaries. And if you're a chronic avoider, you're also going to procrastinate, get ready to get ready, oftentimes with shiny object syndrome, taking on more projects and more situations than you can possibly commit to. And when you over-obligate yourself, it's going to keep you emotionally and neurologically overwhelmed. Being overwhelmed is an emotional addiction that affects a large percent of the population. Chronic over-obligating and enabling will show up frequently because most of society will over-obligate themselves and over-serve for recognition. Now, the more you understand why you do what you do, then you can establish parameters and boundaries. You won't do too much. And if you worry about getting people somewhere, how do I get my team? How do I get someone to the next pen level? How do I get someone to this position in my company? How do I get my team motivated? Well, you're not getting anyone to do any situation. You lead by example, and you see who follows. And the more you understand meeting people where they are, the less likely you will be to over-obligate yourself to them. I've seen people over-obligate themselves. It's a control, a mechanism of control, and many over-obligators are very sensitive and defensive, oftentimes not really coachable. When pointed out to them, they feel sensitive, defensive, they feel threatened, they feel wounded, their feelings get hurt, because they believe that over-obligating and doing more instead of doing less is going to get them more, when typically what it does is get them less. The same situation will show up when you are prospecting. A large percent of the population will spend way too much time talking to people, too much time explaining, validating, and justifying, and not understanding the difference between a prospect and a suspect. Many people will spend way too much time explaining, validating, justifying, explaining the benefits and the features of the products, explaining the pay plan, explaining the value of the products and services, and not really finding out if you have a qualified buyer. Many people open their mouth and they just start talking because they don't have a boundary. Now, the more you understand why you do what you do, it gives you a different insight, gives you a different level of awareness and consciousness on how to easily and effortlessly separate your feelings from the events that shape them. Once again, it's a high probability that some of you, possibly many of you on tonight's call, lost your innocence as a child, meaning you had to over-obligate yourself to do something for someone or people in your family, in your circle of influence. You got volunteered out, you got controlled, you got put in a position that you had to take care of others. Now, taking care of others, there's merit to that, but if taking care of others is your identity, then there's a high probability that taking care of others has become an addiction. And that addiction, as I said earlier, is called codependence. Your objective is to create independent, like-minded success seekers that you can collaborate with, not a codependent team that is dependent upon you. I know I had this happen to me before. I created a team where they became mentor-dependent. Your objective is to create a team of independent, like-minded success seekers who produce results in a relatively short period of time. If you seek to rank advance, get promoted, move forward in your company, your business, then you also have to understand what you get paid for. You do not get paid for time. You get paid for service and value. You get paid for results. You get paid for living the solution, but you do not get paid for over-obligating yourself. What is a healthy boundary? Well, as I said, that is going to be like beauty. It's going to be in the eye of the beholder. Being comfortable with setting boundaries means you're comfortable with yourself. It means that you won't stay on the telephone for long periods of time. You won't get guilted into doing situations that you don't feel that you're obligated to. And when you become very comfortable with yourself, you'll start to live in a place called self-esteem. But when you're uncomfortable with yourself, you'll seek to create your self-esteem by over-obligating yourself and serving others. And oftentimes people who over-obligate themselves come from nobility. They nobly suffer. They go out and they attempt to be noble by doing more than duty calls. Now, it's not a black and white situation. This doesn't mean that you can't be of great service to people. However, if service to people and serving becomes an identity, there's a high probability that you'll have challenges receiving. To own a business in free enterprise, you're in business for profit. Then you're in business for service and value. You're in business to deliver products, goods, and services to the free market. The more valuable you become, the more you can command for your time. The less valuable you are, the less likely someone is to hire you, join your team, be in your circle of influence, want to collaborate with you. But if you are an addicted server, like much of society is, then you'll spend a great deal of your time doing more for others than you'd ever do for yourself. Now, you require a balance in this. You can still obligate yourself. There's a difference between obligating yourself and over-obligating yourself. You want to come from a place called responsibility. You want to have a healthy dialogue with money, a healthy dialogue with yourself, so that you can be and stay compensated in free enterprise. For you to be able to create what the free market will bear, it will be from establishing your value and then being able to deliver your value to the free market. When you devalue yourself, you'll give away a lot of your most valuable commodity. That is time, and that is of yourself. If you are contributing to charity, and you're creating reciprocity, and you're out creating fanfare for the common man, well, have a healthy boundary with it. Be able to devote time to that which gives you inspiration. Devote time to that which gives you a feel-good feeling. But you also have to understand when you own a business, you're not coming from charity. You want to come from empowerment. Your objective is to empower others, not disempower yourself. Your objective is to create value, not devalue yourself. And the more valuable you become, the more you can command in the free market. The cause that creates the effect of over-obligation, the cause that creates the effect of not setting healthy boundaries. We get conditioned to behave in a way, and that conditioned behavior oftentimes becomes our identity. That identity is going to be driven by emotions, anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, grief, and apathy. Those are the emotions that create anxiety. Then there's fear and doubt. And if you fear that you're going to get in trouble, if you fear that someone's going to criticize you for saying, I'm not in a position to do that, if you fear that someone's going to critique you or be critical of you because you're not going to do what they want you to do, then you're being guilted into submission, and that type of guilt will end up having a back end called resentment. And if you're worried all the time, this also will show up in over-obligating. I'm worried all the time. I'm always worried. Worry becomes an identity. Worry is non-physical. Worry is emotional. Worry is a mechanism of control, attempting to control an outcome that hasn't happened. Worry is when you have someone that you're you're spending time with, and they go to the bathroom or they go down the street to pick up something, and you're worried, you're chronically worried, and you blow their phone up by texting them, "Oh my God, I was so worried about you." Well, that's not a healthy boundary. You want to let go of the anxiety that keeps you in control of being out of control. Guilt is a main emotion that affects many people when it comes to not being able to set boundaries, because guilt is an energy and an emotion that leads to anxiety. Families use guilt to control people. People in your circle of influence will guilt you into saying yes. People will use guilt to be able to over-obligate you. Then you will feel guilty by not doing situations. Even though you know you shouldn't, you go ahead and do it because you feel you should. A large percent of people who are in this type of identity and this type of energy worry about what other people are going to think about them. This is a main component of why they don't set healthy boundaries. A healthy boundary is an invisible line that you create that says, "I'm not comfortable committing to that. I'm not in a position to be able to do that. I'll have to pass on that situation tonight." When someone uses guilt to control you, "Oh, come on, it'd be good for you. I have a business that would be really good for you." Unfortunately, that's the way a lot of people communicate. Many people don't ask questions and don't ask commitment questions. And if you are over-committing yourself, that's a way of being commitment-phobic, meaning that you can't commit to yourself, but you're over-commit to every other people and other situations. As you have a better understanding of the cause that creates the effect, then you'll be able to establish a routine when it comes to setting a boundary. At this point in my career, at 60 years old and some change, I'm very skilled at letting people know I can't commit to that. That wouldn't be good for me right now. I'll have to pass on that situation. I don't tell people to call me back because I don't want them to call me back. I'm able to let people know right up front that I'm not in a position to commit. And I've had people say, "Well, why not?" And I'll say, "What part of I didn't can't commit didn't you receive or didn't you hear?" Be comfortable in confronting the situation. And you have to let go of your anxiety about offending people, making a mistake, getting in trouble, saying the wrong thing, failing. Failure is another reason that many people have challenges setting boundaries. They get so anxious about failing that they go out and over-obligate themselves to other people to avoid succeeding. Unfortunately, a large percent of communities, cultures, society, organizations, and teams do this. If you want to be the law of the few or the exception, then you must accept the fact that you may have some challenges in this area. As I stated earlier, this is typically a mechanism of control and an emotion that leads to an addiction called codependence. Codependence is typically when someone over-obligates themselves, enables other. What does enabling mean? Well, enabling means that if you have over-obligation tendencies, can't set healthy boundaries, it means you'll typically do too much for others, oftentimes people who are emotionally or are chemically addicted to a set of feelings, and then that shows up in alcoholism, compulsive spending. How many have challenges saying no to someone who wants to borrow money? I've seen many people do this. They create money, then they support their family, they support their relatives, they support their sister and their sister's brother and their sister's husband and a whole situation because they have challenges with guilt. Setting healthy boundaries typically is referenced in the emotion of guilt. Now, how many of you understand that this is part of how you operate? Someone in your circle of influence has used guilt to control you as you grow up. Someone who's passive and aggressive. There's someone in your circle of influence you can't please. You continue to have to explain yourself, validate yourself, justify yourself. This happens in childhood, and it's still happening as a grown-up. There's someone in your circle of influence that's consistently using guilt to control you and affect you. And you stay in this relationship because you say, "Well, they're my relatives, they're my friends, I grew up with them. We grew up down the block." So you start to justify and validate why you can't let go. This is why many people have challenges with boundaries. It'll show up in relationships. If you're in a dysfunctional relationship, a very unhealthy relationship, oftentimes the boundaries aren't laid out. Many people will get in your space, put you in a position that you feel bad. If you feel bad because you can't say no to someone, if you feel bad because you over-obligate yourself, you feel bad because you can't pass on a situation, that means you're going to spend a great deal of your time in a state called fight or flight. In that type of energy, in that type of emotion, there's a high probability that you're going to spend a lot of your time in the emotion of guilt and overwhelm, followed by resentment. Here's how guilt and resentment become a brother and a sister. They become the twin bookends. Oftentimes we're guilted into doing situations, or you feel guilty because you don't do a situation, or you don't volunteer, or you don't loan someone the money, or you don't gift or give someone the money. You feel guilty. The person doesn't pay you back. The person takes advantage of you. The person disappears. Now you feel resentful of why you did what you did. You also want to get real clear that a large percent of why you over-obligate yourself is because you live in doubt. Doubt and unhealthy boundaries connect to each other frequently because of this situation. When you don't trust your feelings, when you don't trust yourself, when you aren't in the know and in the now, many times that you will doubt yourself, and by doubting yourself, then you'll over-obligate yourself. Then you'll say, I knew I shouldn't have done this. I've met many people and coached many people who at the altar of marriage, right before the marriage, knew that they were marrying the wrong person. But because they were over-obligated, couldn't set the boundaries, worried about what the family would think, was afraid they were going to ruin their life, all the money that had to be spent, they'll go ahead and go through with a commitment they're not really committed to. Then in that relationship, then resentment becomes a component of that relationship oftentimes because they knew they shouldn't have done it, and they resent themselves for not making the decision. But many people stay in this relationship because they don't have a boundary. They don't have healthy parameters about how they operate. Now, if you are on this call and you seek to change, let go, establish a new routine, let go of the anxiety about the outcome that hasn't happened, then that's what setting a healthy boundary is. Setting a healthy boundary means you're comfortable with being able to state how you feel without being anxious about how someone else is going to receive it. And you can do this in the level of diplomacy. It's not going to get you in trouble. You're not going to make a mistake. You're not going to get judged. And you have to really let go of being judged. A lot of people make their decision process by not being able to establish healthy boundaries. They over-obligate themselves. They do too much for others. They do too much for family. Blood is thicker than water. They're my family. They're the only family I've got. Understood? Many people say this. But you also have many people in your circle of influence that you've met through social media, direct sales companies, real estate opportunities, clubs, organizations, etc. You've met many, many quality people that you can have relationships that are relatable. But you have to be able to relate to yourself. You have to be able to be comfortable with being able to say no to people. I'm going to pass. It's not in the cards. I'll have to let you go. Not this year, not this time, next, never. And when you're doing this, don't tell people lies. Don't say, yeah, why don't you get back to me? Don't say what you don't mean. Be very clear in your communication style. This is the value of clarity. Imagine who you would be if you weren't over-obligating yourself. Imagine who you would be if you weren't taking care of other addicts. Imagine who you would be if you had a healthy boundary. Imagine who you could be if you had dedicated blocks of time and you were able to easily and effortlessly produce in that time. Are you someone who takes your work home with you? Do you devote 60 to 70 hours to a career that's not yours? If the answer is yes to those two questions, then there's a high probability of challenges setting boundaries. Once again, many people worry about getting fired. They can't tell their boss that they can't commit to a situation because they're afraid they'll get fired. This is why many people work 60 and 80 hours a week trading time for dollars, not even making six figures. When you're in free enterprise, network marketing, and direct sales, there's no time for overtime, meaning that you don't, in a job, you don't get paid, you get paid for overtime, but in free enterprise, when you're starting to put in extra effort and extra energy, you'll get compensated with the free market will bear through the leverage. And you have to be able to establish that. If you are a workaholic, this may be another situation that you would start to establish healthy boundaries. And if you're someone who's a chronic avoider, then once again, you have to have healthy boundaries. I mean, you have to be able to establish a parameter, a time that you can dedicate to, that you're committed to be able to create the results so you can live the good life. So you can live on your life, on your terms, in your time frame, without having to apologize to anyone. As you let go of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do, you will no longer be the mind-body connection to the chronic enabling over-obligator that many people are in society. The more you understand why you do what you do, then you can easily and effortlessly begin the separation from feelings and the events that shape them. But if you continue to tell yourself, I don't know why I do this, I don't understand, that's how you'll neurochemically intoxicate yourself with adrenaline, cortisol, and an emotional state that will keep you overwhelmed. When the pain is great enough, when you've suffered enough, when you're ready, any multitude of reasons when you come to the crossroad and you say, I'm so done with this. When you can come to that crossroad and say, I'm not participating in this anymore. This is the end of the era, the death of the ego. I'm letting go. I'm no longer going to be the mind-body connection to the events that shaped my anxieties that led to my addictions. As you begin to understand the cause that creates the effect, as you have a better understanding of why you do what you do, when you no longer say, I don't know, I don't understand, my whole childhood was a blur, when you start to really enhance and recreate your memory, when you start to understand what you do subconsciously and unconsciously is what creates your conscious lack of awareness or your awareness, then you'll have a better understanding of energy. Energy calibrates out to cycles a second. If you seek to attract people of like mind that you can partner with to become 6- and 7-figure income earners, then there's a high probability you'll have to change your energy and change some of your philosophy. You'll have to have more time dedicated to production and less time dedicated to helping people, serving people. Now, be very clear on the difference between serving and service. Serving is when you tend to give time away. If you're out serving the populace, that can be a great value. But if you're building a business and you're over-obligating, over-serving, doing too much for others, then you're burning your most valuable commodity time. You have to understand the balance and have the routine so that you understand what you get compensated for. You don't get compensated for time, you get compensated for value in the service you deliver, in the value that you dedicate. As you become more valuable, as you have a better understanding of the cause that creates the effect, as you're able to easily and effortlessly let go, and you're able to say, not now, I can't, I'll pass, do your best not to say, why don't you get back to me, especially when you don't mean it. You have to understand that why don't you get back to me is a blow off and a brush off. Don't ask someone to get back to you when you don't mean it. Ask someone to get back with you when you really mean it. Be clear in your communication. Be clear in who you are. This is how you'll establish boundaries. Establish boundaries free of guilt. Produce free of guilt and relax free of guilt. Don't try and make up what you avoided at the last minute. That's what many people do. A healthy boundary is also a methodical system. It can be a routine. It means you do the same thing over and over, and you don't get taken off course because you seldom, if ever, get overwhelmed. Being overwhelmed is a state of being. It's also why many people have challenges setting boundaries. Your communication style will be a direct reflection of whether you can set a healthy boundary or you live in unhealthy boundaries. Your communication style when you say, I'm always worried, I'm always overwhelmed, I'm always late. If you're one of these late, last-minute type of people, you don't operate best when your back's against the wall. You operate best when you're in a relaxed state of consciousness. You'll operate best when your body's in alignment with the goals and task that you have set aside to be able to create the results to eventually live the good life. When what you do is non-negotiable and success is not, when failure is not an option and success is the committed energy that you're beginning to live in, then you will start to establish healthy boundaries. What many people do is they over-obligate themselves to distract themselves from being productive. Now, this merits a whole another level of topic. Here's what that means, is that many people over-obligate themselves to stay busy, because being busy detracts them and deflects them from looking at self. This is why many people can perform functionally in a job, because a job has a set of tasks. A job will have a set of skills, but basically a job has a routine. And many people also over-obligate themselves so they can deflect from looking at themselves. In a job, you can often hide out. A job doesn't expose your low self-esteem. In a job, you can be motivated. But being inspired is a different situation that will show up in free enterprise, or it won't show up, because your story not only overwhelms you, but your story keeps you avoiding with the results that you are committed to creating. You can't commit and need to commit in the same communication style. To have healthy boundaries, you have to have words that lead to commitments. I'm not in a position to do that now. I'll pass. Thanks, but no thanks. I appreciate the offer, but I'm not in a position to commit right now. This is why you're going to want to get really clear in your communication. And don't be concerned with offending people, bothering people. Don't be concerned with getting in trouble, making a mistake. As you learn to let go of your anxiety, specifically your rejection, abandonment, anxiety, then you're not the mind-body connection to the events that created the overwhelmed, underproducing self. A large percent of the population that also has challenges setting boundaries are underachievers and under-earners. Once again, because many people will obligate themselves and do more for others than they will ever do for themselves, because they feel too guilty to ask, receive, and deserve. And this is why a lot of people will also feel very uncomfortable as they begin to break through, because on an unconscious, subconscious level, they don't really believe that they deserve success. So what will they do? They'll go out and over-obligate themselves to others. That'll distract and detract from them being able to be successful. They feel that they're giving and delivering value by helping and serving people, when really what they're doing is deflecting from learning the skills, habits, and mindset required to be and stay successful. When you're addicted to resentment and disappointment, you'll find ways to create that very situation. This is a reason that you'll see people over-obligate themselves. How many of you grew up in a household where there was a chronic over-obligator? There was a person who absolutely went to the wall. They slaved, they cleaned, they did everything for everyone else. They put everyone else first. If you have one of those people in your family, there's a high probability that some of you have mirrored that situation, or you've been guilted into doing some of the same situation. Here you are, a grown-up, doing what you do and not really understanding what it means to let go. When you are dedicated, when you start to dedicate dedicated blocks of time to results and production, then you'll start to let go of some of the situation you've done to avoid success. A lot of chronic over-obligators are chronic over-committers. They'll commit to everyone but themselves. They'll put themselves last. They put their kids first, their family first, their relatives first. They'll put their employers first. They'll do everything but take care of themselves. Now, if this is you, this content is directed directly at you. You have to be able to dedicate blocks of time to your recovery. That's a 12-step program. That's reading books. That's listening to podcasts, downloads, streaming videos. It's listening to YouTube videos. It's really having a better understanding of why you do what you do, so you can separate your feelings from the events, so you're not the mind-body connection to the events that created your anxious addictions. As you become really clear on why you do what you do, you understand that it's the events that shape your feelings, and you're no longer saying, I don't know, I don't understand, I don't understand why I do this, I don't know why I ate the cheesecake, I don't know why I didn't prospect today, I had a good intention and a poor delivery, I don't understand why I continue to do this to myself. Well, understand this, you do understand, but you're avoiding understanding. When you understand, that means you're consciously aware. In this state of being, now you have an opportunity to separate yourself from the feelings that created your anxiety. But when your self-talk says, I'm worried all the time, I'm not sure if I can pull it off, oh, I'm so overwhelmed that I'm medicated, I'm hesitated, I'm levitated. When you're that kind of overwhelmed, what it means is you're emotionally paralyzed. It's going to be a challenge for you to build a business, communicate with people, collaborate with people, because you're so overwhelmed. Overwhelm becomes an identity. It's an addiction. A large percent of the population lives in this place called overwhelm. And if you're overwhelmed, you're neurochemically addicted to a set of feelings that keep you doing the same situation over and over. A large percent of the population is overwhelmed, over-obligating themselves because they can't set healthy boundaries. To set a healthy boundary is to decide. It is to commit. What can you commit to tonight about letting go of people and situations that just aren't in the cards for you anymore, that you shouldn't be doing? What can you let go of tonight? Letting go of clutter, chaos, and hoarding is a different level of boundary. You're setting a boundary that says that the clutter stops here. I'm going to release myself from this bondage I'm in. I'm going to let go. I'm going to let go from places I never knew I could let go. I'm going to stretch. I'm going to enter into recovery. I'm no longer going to be the mind-body connection to the addiction that keeps me overwhelmed. When you're able to have a better understanding of cause, why you do what you do, then you can separate your feelings. That's the value of learning to let go. Letting go is liberating. Staying overwhelmed is intoxicating. As you start to let go of your emotional intoxication, as you start to be and stay present, as you begin to live in your brain and your body, and you're not overwhelmed in the same energy, you'll begin to attract your reality in a small frequency, in a small circle of influence, a different type of prospect, a different type of friend, someone you can connect with, collaborate with, be in business or businesses with, someone who's focused, someone you can be focused with. Instead of being hocus pocus, I'm out of focus, you want to live in a relaxed focus. Focus allows you to create a result in a situation that you're comfortable in. In that kind of relaxed focus, you're not over-focused. When you're over-focused, you're typically way ahead of yourself, not focusing on creating the results, not living in the solution, but dwelling on the problem. Over-obligating yourself, doing more for others to deflect what you should be doing because you're uncomfortable creating a result. If you live in doubt, you'll have challenges in this very situation that I'm discussing tonight in setting boundaries. You'll make a lot of your decisions based on getting in trouble. Instead of being clear, you're overwhelmed. If you're overwhelmed, you're going to be in doubt. If you're in doubt, the word guess is going to show up prevalently and frequently in your communication style. As you're not the mind-body connection to these events anymore, then you are you and you are free. When you free yourself from your mind, you're not your mind. When you free yourself from being overwhelmed in your body, you're not your body. When you let go, now you're one with, means your body and brain collaborate together to rewire a new set of neurons that can become a new identity. And the more you understand cause, meaning why you do what you do, and the effects of the cause, then you can begin to really be clear on what letting go means. Letting go is going to have a very similar meaning for many of you. Letting go is non-physical. It's not linear. Letting go isn't practical. Letting go is a committed decision one day at a time over a long lifetime to effectively let go of being overwhelmed, being anxious, being angry, or any multitude of anxieties or emotions that lead to anxieties that keep you perpetuating the same set of feelings, wondering why you don't create a new result. You don't create a new result typically because it would contradict your struggle. If struggle is a way of life, if you're a noble struggler, if you're in the struggler's hit parade, if you're out there struggling to prove a point, well then get clear that that's not reciprocity or prosperity, that's resistance. Strugglers are noble strugglers, and strugglers like to point out to other noble strugglers how much they're struggling. Strugglers worry a lot. Strugglers tend to not have boundaries. Strugglers tend to do more for others than they'd ever do for themselves. And if you're one of these people and the pain is great enough, then you're in the right place at the right time, because this could be the very call that sets you free. If you're in this call tonight and you're telling yourself, I'm so done with this, I'm so done with being overwhelmed, I'm so done with over-obligating myself, I'm going to end the era, it's going to be the death of the ego, that unequivocally can happen tonight, provided you understand the practical application of letting go. A large percent of letting go is not physical, it's emotional. Letting go, when you're not addicted to when you're not addicted to the feelings, and letting go becomes even more easier. But if you're addicted to a set of emotions and you continue to do the same thing over and over, don't you feel responsible enough to let go? Don't you feel capable of letting go? Aren't you ready to let go so that you're not in a chronic overwhelmed state with no boundaries? When you have no boundaries, that means anyone can walk into your bathroom. Anyone can walk into your life. Anyone can show up and be an emotional and a spiritual vampire. When you're consciously aware, you can spot the clues and signs in the journey. You're able to liberate yourself from the past while you're living in the present. When you are consciously aware, your emotional vibration raises. You're no longer in fight or flight. You're beginning to attract a different type of person to your reality. And it's explained in a term called synchronicity, meaning there's no accidents and there's no meaningful coincidences. It's by design. When you can live by design, you'll attract your reality, people and situations that can assist you in your journey. They can be role players in your team. They can be producers in your team. They can be employees. But it means that through the power of thought, the power of the brain, you're able to easily and effortlessly attract to reality the very situation you sought to avoid. So as you begin to let go and have a better understanding of why you do what you do, you're not the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, and you're able to look at a situation and say, I'm going to pass on this. Healthy boundaries will also show up in prospecting. I coach clients who spend way too much time following up with people. They follow up with them, they stalk them, they chase them, they cajole them, they beg them. Learn the one or two and done principle. You have one or two conversations with someone, and you can tell whether you have an interested or a qualified buyer. And this means you have to be able to read the situation for what it is. This requires repetition and experience and a lot of practice. And for you to be good at what you do, you're going to start to develop time devoted to the 10,000-hour habit. That means that you're able to, in 10,000 hours, theoretically become an expert in your chosen vision, your chosen field. As you become good with that situation, there's a high probability that you will be able to let go easily and effortlessly without feeling bad, without worrying. When you're a chronic worrier, there's a high probability that that you will continue to attract the situations to fulfill those feelings. You'll create the events that shaped your feelings and then recreate the very situation to fulfill those feelings of anxiety. When you can let go, that means you have the ability to separate your feelings from the events. When you're able to easily and effortlessly let go, letting go becomes a skill. It's practiced daily. When you can let go, it means that you're skilled in many situations and you're constantly reinventing yourself with anxiety about the outcome. When you can be that mind-body connection to the events that you're starting to recreate and the events that you're starting to rekindle that you sabotaged, when you can have a clear vision of the outcome you seek, when you're able to deliver it, sense it, and feel it, when you're able to be in that space, in that place, then you're not the mind-body connection to the events that created your anxiety. As you begin to understand why you do what you do, then you won't overwhelm yourself. You won't do the same situation over and over. You want to be able to go from avoidance to production. Organization is a skill, habit, and mindset. If you're unorganized, undisciplined, there's a high probability you're overwhelmed. There's a high probability that survival is a challenge for many people who live in this overwhelmed state. And that's what many people do. They live in a relative's home, some bizarre situation where someone gives them a home to live in. In a relatively short period of time, it's trash because there aren't healthy boundaries there. A healthy boundary is a parameter that you put in your life, you integrate it, so you don't let people get too close to you, but you still let people get close to you. You'll understand the contradiction of that statement. I'll say it again. You don't let people get too close to you, but you let people get close to you who you trust. You have to learn to trust your feelings when it comes to establishing boundaries. And when you're able to establish boundaries, then the people you establish boundaries with oftentimes will respect you because you were able to take a stand. when you're able to take a stand, you're not concerned about who and what, who you're going to offend and what they're going to do or say. When you're able to take that kind of situation, you know there's going to be people who like you, there's going to be people who comment, and you're not concerned with the one or two people who don't. You put your energy where it's deserved, not needed. You're able to devote time to your craft, honing your skills. You're able to devote time to yourself without feeling guilty or overwhelmed. The more you understand cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do, you will not be the specific person where the events have shaped your feelings. And as now you move away from that state, you're no longer associating with people that have addiction tendencies. You're addressing your recovery. You're in the 12 steps, you're doing really good because now you have boundaries. And it's these kind of boundaries that will keep you from over-obligating yourself, doing too much. Too much is a term you have to establish. What is too much? What is not enough? That is going to be your responsibility, the ability to respond and decide and have a better understanding of why people do what they do so you don't take it personal, so you don't feel rejected or abandoned. Now, as you start to live in this space called trust, as you let go of anxiety, as you let go of being overwhelmed, you're not worried to the stories people are going to tell you. You're not living in lack and poverty consciousness. When you're able to live in that space, then you're not the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your feelings. As you're able to easily and effortlessly let go, and as you're able to be present, be here, be now, then you're in a really good space in your life called emotional maturity. As you begin to mature into becoming that person you deserve to be, that person you know you can be, then you're not the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anxiety. As you're in a position to let go, you're able to let go and not feel remorse over what you let go of. And that's because you have a healthy boundary. When you have no boundaries, then you'll just stuff it anywhere. You'll just throw it down where you come in the door. That's oftentimes one of the hiding places. That's what many people do. They walk in the door, take a jacket or coat off, they hang it up on a peg, kick their shoes off. Now they're done for the evening. That's how many people show up or don't show up. But when you're committed and you have boundaries, then you'll be able to come into your office, sit down, after perhaps washing up, having something to eat, but relatively soon, you're able to sit down and as the president and founder of your own corporation, you want to be able to sit down and be able to evaluate why you do what you do, let go of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do, and be really clear on what you're committed to in the next 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, and 24 months. It would require 2 years of your time to take your game to the next level, 2 years of your time to become the entrepreneur you know you're capable of becoming. As you start to understand why you do what you do, and you realize you're not the mind-body connection to the events that shaped some of your feelings 2 and 3 years ago, then you don't live in anxiety. You're not worried about going into the jungle. You're not worried about going in there and getting eaten up by a tiger. You put your energy into results and solutions rather than doing the same thing over and over and then being disappointed you don't get the same result. As you easily and effortlessly let go, you're having a much better understanding of why you do what you do. When you let go of people and situations, your body, your physique will change. When you're no longer holding onto water and other situations that create dis-ease, then you're in the right place at the right time. And the more you understand that, the better you're going to be equipped for any challenges or any adversity that shows up. As you learn to dig in, get really clear, and hold your own, then you're not worried about the outcome that someone else is worried about. As you learn to let go of worry and be present, be here and now, your energy changes and shifts. You start to move into an aware state of consciousness. This is a state of consciousness you want to live the rest of your life. You're mature, you're ready, you have potential. You have to be able to be real clear that you could do this too. It's called the good life. And for you to really live a good life and understand what constitutes it, then you're able to easily and effortlessly let go. As you become skilled in this process of letting go and understanding how you have challenges obligating yourself and over-obligating yourself, as you understand why you do what you do, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your feelings. If you hold on, it'll show up many places. You want to learn to let go quickly, easily, and effortlessly, so you're not the mind-body connection to the events that shape the feelings, and you're not the mind-body connection to other outside influences that break you down, rob you of your energy, create a space where it's easy to become ill because of the way you process, the guilt you live in. As you begin to let go of your guilt and make a better place to be able to operate from in that state called consciousness when you're aware, as you begin to live in a much more evolved universal space, you'll be able to capitalize on the situation when it is ready. It could be any day, it could be a couple weeks, whatever it is. You want to be able to be right here, right now, that you are focused on results. You're focused on a solution. You're not focused on people-pleasing. You're focusing on pleasing yourself. You don't have to justify, validate, and explain yourself anymore because you are you and you are free. So on tonight's call, we covered a lot of ground. You want to be able to have a better understanding of the four personality types and why they do what they do. The four personality types are the A-type personality. That is an A-type personal friend of mine, and the more you understand that many people that you over-obligate yourself, you think you're doing it to friends, and oftentimes that they aren't your friends. And when you start to understand this, then you won't feel so guilty about why you do what you do. Now, I have done that with personal friends before and thought I was doing them a great service and a great favor. Actually, what I was doing was enabling them. I was hindering their growth. As you're able to get really clear on this and understand the difference between service and serving, as you're able to understand the difference between value and devaluing yourself, as you're really clear on what recovery versus an addiction is, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that created your overwhelmed state of anxiety. Anxiety is anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, grief, and apathy. As you're able to separate your feelings from the events that created that identity, then you will begin to change who and what. Who and what you attract in a law of frequency. It means that the floodgates aren't going to open, but it means over a period of time, as you start to understand the numbers and the laws that govern numbers, and you start to respect the numbers, that there will be in the law of numbers as you begin to recruit, attract, and enroll people into businesses, teams, and culture, that you'll start to have a certain type of people begin to show up because you are changing. The proof is in the results. That's what you want to look at. And you also want to understand that sometimes you're not going to get instant gratification, but the signs and clues are there. As you start to understand the signs and clues and understand why you do what you do, then you're starting to move into a higher level of awareness, consciousness. As you begin to love what you do and love yourself, once again, you're raising your emotional vibration. As you begin to live in a place called joy and bliss, and you're living in effortless ease, then you're not creating resistance. You're not creating force. You're living in power. As you learn to empower yourself and others, then you won't over-obligate yourself. Then you won't even be concerned about a healthy boundary because you are a healthy boundary. You're so clear with who you are, you don't have to explain, validate, and justify yourself. You're not interested in being on stage. You're not interested in being the issue because you understand the issue. The issue is you and what you become. As you start to come from that place, you're not selfish or self-centered, but you become self-reliant and self-directed. When you let go of the stories and anxieties you continue to tell yourself, you are you and you are free. When you're no longer overwhelmed and over-obligated, your energy changes because instead of coming from a very low frequency, coming from resentment and guilt, your energy changes. You move into a higher level of consciousness. You move into a different state of being because you paid the price. And you were willing to pay the price until the price was paid. But if you don't pay the price of success, you'll pay the pain of regret. And the more you understand why you do what you do, the less likely you are to emotionally relapse. As you start to really come into your power, as you start to come into your own, that means you start to own your business. You own your emotions. You're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that created your overwhelmed, anxious state that leads to anxiety and chronic avoidance. When you're no longer a chronic avoider, then you have to have a different set of boundaries. And boundaries really means it's like beauty in the eye of the beholder. But from my perspective, what a boundary means for tonight's call is you're able to pass on situations that won't serve you. You don't feel guilted into doing situations or volunteering for situations because someone asks you. You have clarity in your emotions. You're able to pass on that opportunity. And if someone goes, I can't believe it, you're going to be able to say, why can't you believe it? Your objective is to be able to attract a qualified buyer. Your objective is to be able to attract someone who can produce results. Your objective is to be able to attract someone to your reality who's of like mind that you can come together and collaborate with for common good, for business, for commerce, for any multitude of situations. But you're in the law of alignment. It's in that type of alignment that people begin to show up. The parking spaces show up. Situations begin to show up. Opportunities avail themselves. They're coming out of the woodwork. I can't keep up with this, how many people communicate and talk. You can keep out of it, and you can be present. You can be here and be now. If you seek a free 15-minute coaching session with me, inbox me with your number and what you'd like me to assist you with on Facebook, and I'll get back to you immediately. You can also do it on LinkedIn. I want to thank each and every one of you for being on tonight's Inspired Call. Have a great evening, everyone, and I look forward to connecting with you next Tuesday and at live events before the end of the year. Have a great evening, everyone.